As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I wonder who you follow. Maybe you follow a sports team. Perhaps you follow friends or celebrities on social media. In the world of work, there are usually rules or guidelines that we follow. Some of us might work for bosses that we find really inspiring, and we'd be happy to say we follow them. For others, we follow the instructions, but could take or leave the boss, to be honest. We wouldn't choose to say we followed them. For those things that we do choose to follow, there are different levels of following, aren't there? If, for instance, we follow a football team, that might mean that we keep an eye out or an ear out for the results on the radio, and we kind of vaguely keep track of where they are in the league. All the way through to people who watch all the matches on the TV, maybe have a season ticket, go to all the home and away matches, and even go and watch the reserves play. There's a whole range of following a football team, isn't there? Same thing holds for those we follow on social media. We might glance occasionally at our Twitter feed and quite interested in things that pop up. Or we might be on it the whole time, eager for updates, commenting and liking every post from someone we follow particularly closely. Different levels and degrees of the way in which we follow things. Who here had someone in their household start or return to school or college this week? Anybody? Fair few of us. Even if you didn't, you probably know someone who did. Our young people invest a huge amount of time and energy and learning in about the kind of first 20-odd years of their lives, don't they? As a society, we invest lots of resources in teaching and creating opportunities for our young people to learn. As we grow older, some of us kind of retain that curiosity, that wanting to learn. We continue training for new roles in our jobs. They had the graduation from Telford College here on Wednesday evening, and it was really inspiring to see all these folk who had taken courses at Telford College while they were still holding down a job and looking after family so that they could advance themselves in their career. They'd kept learning. Some of us are involved in U3A and in retirement. There's something about being a lifelong learner that keeps us curious, humble, and open to new things. In our second Bible reading that Rian read for us, it's quite close to the beginning of Matthew's eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. And if you were following along in the pew Bibles, you noticed it had a subheading. And if you weren't, I can tell you now what it was. Jesus calls his first disciples. Now, this word disciples, it's not one we use much in normal everyday English, is it? No? So what does it mean? What does this word disciples mean? Well, if we look at what Jesus actually did and said, it gives us a bit of a clue. The first thing Jesus says is, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And then he continues, and I will send you out to fish for people. And what did Simon and Andrew do? They go, oh, that's interesting. No, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And then similarly, when Jesus talks to James and John, they leave what they're doing and they follow Jesus. So it seems to me that fairly obvious that a disciple is someone who follows someone else. But actually, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. Jesus says he's going to send them to fish for people. Now, exactly what that means, it's a weird phrase, isn't it? Exactly what that means isn't made clear there. It's made clearer as you follow their story through, as they go with Jesus. Bit of homework for you if you want. But whatever it means, it seems likely to me that it will involve Jesus teaching them something new. They were fishers of fish, and he's going to make them fishers of people. He's going to have to teach them something. And if he's going to teach, that means they have to learn. So being a disciple of Jesus means to follow Jesus, and to learn from Jesus. Whenever we talk about discipleship or being disciples, we are talking about following Jesus and learning from Jesus. And sometimes we hear that word disciple in church or whatever, and we think that's like an option for super Christians. It's not. It's just the normal life of being a Christian. It's intended to be the normal way of living for all Christians. Being a disciple of Jesus means being committed to learning from him. That's what it means. It means following Jesus in his way of life. And at All Saints, we believe that the best way to do that is to get closer to Jesus. The more closely we follow Jesus, the more closely we watch Jesus, the more closely we sit with Jesus, the better we can learn from him. That's why we have this strap line: called to be closer to Christ, sent to be closer to others. We've even got it on a banner. Must be serious. Called to be closer to Christ, sent to be closer to others. And as I was reflecting on this morning, been reflecting a little bit on what we've been seeing of the stories of the Queen's life that have been being told over the last couple of days, I wonder actually if this is one of the things that drew people to the Queen. She was very open about her Christian faith, her desire to follow Jesus closely. Whenever her Christmas messages came out, whenever she spoke publicly, the Jubilees, she spoke about how important her Christian faith was to her life. Part of the way that worked out in her life was the way in which she reached out to others, meeting and listening, having impact on the lives of thousands of people that she met throughout her life. I think that one of the things that attracts us about the Queen's life was the fact that she was someone who wanted to be closer to Jesus, to follow Jesus and to learn from Jesus and put those things she learned into practice in her life. Now, here at All Saints, we have four action groups who look after various aspects of church life. One of those is the Mission and Discipleship Action Group. And over the last 6-12 months or so, we've been thinking about how we can encourage each other in this life of discipleship here at All Saints. How we can work together to encourage each other to follow Jesus more closely, learn from him more effectively. Now, as you came in this morning, I'm hoping you were given a little leaflet. I thought I had a copy. I didn't. Somebody wave it at me. It says discipleship on the front. It was a clue. Yeah, you've got them. Those of you here physically, you've got them. If you didn't manage to get one on the way in, get one on the way out. For those of you online, we're going to upload. Oh, thank you very much. There's even a large print version for those of you who need large print. For those of you online, we're going to upload a copy of this to our Facebook page later, today or tomorrow, so you can look for it there. Lays out some of the things we've been thinking about. How we're going to be, and we're going to be exploring these together over the next couple of months in our Sunday morning services. Now, that doesn't mean, but by the end of October, we'll all have discipleship sorted, okay? I'm not expecting that. This is a lifelong thing, but I'm hoping that as we have opportunity to talk about things, see how they fit together, it will help us all to follow and learn from Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to give a bit of an overview, a roadmap, if you like, of where we're going in the coming weeks. And then each Sunday of the coming Sundays, we're going to go into a bit more detail in each of those areas. So, if discipleship is all about Jesus, following him and learning from him, then one of the first questions we might want to ask ourselves is, how close am I to Jesus? How closely am I following him now? How open am I to learning from him? How close am I to Jesus this Sunday morning? Now, for some of us, when we hear those kind of questions, it sends us a bit on a guilt trip. We don't feel very close to Jesus, but we do feel ashamed and guilty of our failures. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to highlight things that are wrong in our lives, to make us aware of them so that they can be sorted. But that's the point, so that they can be sorted. Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life again to deal with our shame and our guilt. We don't need to be held back by them. We can bring them to Jesus and be forgiven, freed from those feelings of inadequacy to enjoy God's presence. The things we've got wrong don't have to stop us getting closer to Jesus. We can be forgiven for them. Now, as you read the leaflet and what I'm going to talk about now, there are four categories of people. Now, the problem with categories is that as soon as you lay them out, somebody says, well, I'm a bit of that and a bit of the other. And you might not feel like you fit into one of them completely, but that's okay. It's not like a grading system. It's not like piano grades or judo belts. This is just a framework for us to have these conversations, to talk about where we are with Jesus and how we might get closer. So just in brief, there are those of us who are exploring Christ. People who say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Jesus. I don't really get it all, but I want to find out more. And actually, the folk that we heard about in our first reading, Paul, the Apostle Paul, a Christian in the early church, was travelling around Greece and that area, and he got to Philippi, and he met these people outside the city. They believed in God, and they wanted to pray, but they hadn't really heard about Jesus. They didn't know about Jesus. They were kind of exploring until they heard what Paul had to say, and they decided they did believe in Jesus and wanted to be baptized. Like Kiva was baptized this morning. So we might be exploring Christ. We might be growing in Christ. We might have said, yes, I do believe in Jesus, and I've thought about what Christianity claims, and yeah, I think that's true. And I want to start growing in it. And that's where those guys in Philippi ended up by the end of the conversation. They invited Paul to come back with them and teach them more so they could grow in it. And as we grow closer to Jesus, we might actually come to a place where we say, actually, I'm quite close to Christ. I feel close to Jesus. My relationship with Jesus is part of my everyday life. I feel like I talk to him. It makes an impact on how I live my life. And then we might get to a point where we might say, actually, our whole lives are Christ-centered. It's like the planets revolve around the sun. Jesus is the sun. Everything revolves around Jesus. Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. You see how that progression kind of works? There's more detail in the leaflets. We're going to be exploring it in more detail over the coming weeks. But just encourage you, over the coming weeks, just be thinking, praying. Actually, if I sat down and think about it, where am I with Jesus right now? And then having thought about where we are right now, we might think, well, okay, this is where I am. But actually, I do want to get closer. How do I do that? You see, we talked about the fishermen. They did something practical. They left their nets, they left their life of being fishermen, and they got up and they followed Jesus. They did something practical. The believers in Philippi, they did something. They were baptized. They invited Paul to come and stay with them, to teach them so they could learn more. They did some practical things. What can we do? Again, we're going to be exploring this over the coming week. But there are some practical things that Christians over the centuries have discovered can help us get closer to Jesus. It's not an exhaustive list. There'll be other stuff that helps as well. But these are some of the things that we'll be talking about over the coming weeks. Helpful, and they all begin with H. It's good, this. Helpful habits, helpful hands, and helpful conversations. It's good, that, isn't it? Yeah? Helpful habits. Reading or listening to the Bible and reflecting on what it says. That's why we've given a Bible to Kiva and Gospels to her godparents. Praying. And that's not just a shopping list that we take to God. That's talking and listening with God. Helpful habits we can build into our daily lives. Helpful hands. Learning to serve others is one of the most powerful ways to get closer to Jesus. You see, Jesus left heaven. He was King of heaven. And he came to earth to serve us. That's what he's like. So if we want to be like Jesus, to get closer to him, learning to serve is important. Sometimes that will be in church. There's various things and jobs that always need doing around church. But as often, if not more, it'll be outside the church, serving in our families, our workplaces, in volunteer organisations, having that attitude, wherever we go, how can I serve the people who are here? Helpful hands and helpful conversations. We're not meant to travel this way alone. We travel with Jesus together. We heard Jesus call four fishermen. They went together with him. Paul talked to a group of people by the river. We've made commitments to Kiva and her family this morning that we want to walk with them as they encourage her in her life of faith. God puts us in community so that we can have people to talk with as we travel on the journey, so that we can invite others to travel with us, so we can share those things that have helped us grow closer to Jesus, so we can mourn with each other, so that we can share those times when it feels difficult and dry and we're not sure where Jesus has gone. Helpful conversations as we travel together. So, I'm really looking forward to sharing over the next couple of months as we focus on discipleship. I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do with us as we reflect together on how close we are to Jesus now and learn together how we can get closer so that we can follow him more faithfully and learn from him more deeply. Amen.